Okay. So the topic this week is validation. So we talked about XML being an extendable format, so meaning that we could pretty much add attributes, we could add elements of any type you want to any document, unless we have a schema that kind of defines what is the expected structure. So the it's a nice balance here between being extensible and open for future needs, but at the same time, when we program, we would like to know what we can expect, or if you get an XML document, we would like to know what can be in there. So we know from relation databases is that you have to define all the tables, all the columns and everything down to the simple data type. But for an XML, we just create a document and we can open it and parse it and use DOM to access it. But when we write programs, we would like to know what can we expect in there. So what we're going to look at this week is how we can define a schema, how we can define what is a valid format for our documents. Because sometimes we would like to have specific XML documents for specific purposes. And then we would like to know what is in there. I don't know if you appreciated the DOM assignment, but we got away by not spending too much time on error handling. So the sample document you were to parse, it was contained what we expected, contained all the elements and attributes that we expected. Now, if you were to write a program that's using XML data and you expect certain elements to be there, because when you go and do the XPath, you expect to find some element, and then you go to their element to parse further on. So if we have to add lots of testing for that, say, okay, now if you didn't find it, we need to do this and that, and if you didn't find this, then we need to tell the user. So there's going to be a lot of code inside our program just to test that the document we have contains what we expect it to contain. But this is where the schema comes in. So with the schema, we can define what we expect in the document, and we can send that to the parser and say, please check that the document is according to the schema. And if it is, then we can, in the program, we can assume that all the elements, all the attributes that are specified in the schema is actually present in the current document. We don't have to have all this testing code. So that's a bit of the rationality. The other bit of rationality is that when we would like to communicate to other users what is the format that we are going to generate or the format we expect, then the schema can be used as a communication tool, saying, okay, this is what we expect. This is the format. If you stick to this format, then we are fine. Then we can deal with your document. Or this is kind of a documentation of the documents we generate. So this is the final part of the XML. So we started with a little bit on XML and web technologies. We talked about XPath. We talked about DOM. And today is the validation. And they are kind of, I hope you kind of see how they work together. So when we talked about the general XML structure, we talked about tree structures, and we talked about different types of nodes. We had text nodes, we had element nodes, we had attribute nodes, and how they created a tree. And we used XPath to traverse the tree and to query for up and down and even sideways. So as we said a couple of times already, the DOM tree structure is not a tree, it's a graph, because we also have the sidewise pointers. In a tree structure, you wouldn't have that, but we have it. So we still call it a tree because the overall structure is a tree structure, but it's a convenient way to go sideways as well. And then last week in the DOM, we started to iterate, follow those links, and trying to get out information. So we need to know, do we have an element node here or a text node here, to know what information we could get from it. And we could use XPath inside. I hope some of you discovered the convenience of using XPath rather than traversing the tree to, for instance, when you were to remove a node. It's much easier to just write the XPath that finds all the nodes to remove and then just quickly remove them, other than trying to search through the whole tree and see if it's there and if it links to something else. That's much more code. And today, we're going to kind of bind into that by talking about what are the different types of content in the XML document. We already talked about it when we talked about it in the intro, when we talked about XPath, when we talked about DOM, we talked about different types of content. But now, since we're going to specify what the expected content is going to be, we need to revisit that the whole typing issue. And I hope that most of you have watched the last year's video, because it's rather like going through in breath everything or a lot about XML schema. I'm going to go through one example, because then you get into the flow, and this is what those of you decide or need to do the last assignment. It's very parallel to how you can approach the task of writing a schema for that assignment. So I hope I'm not going to confuse you by yet another XML example. We're going to be working through it today and also on Thursday, so I hope you're going to be a bit familiar with it. Before we go on, are there any questions related to what we've done so far? Because, I mean, we're kind of building on top of the other understanding XML, so if there's something that is kind of hard to understand what we've covered so far, then we could address it now before we dive into the next set of syntax. Because, unfortunately, there's going to be quite a lot of syntax here. So XPath is a lot about syntax. I mean, it's understanding, but it's also about the syntax. Well, how do we match up? Where do we need quotes? Where do we have slashes? And where do we have brackets? And when do we have the alpha sign? And DOM is a lot about the PHP syntax and DOM syntax. And now we're going to have the XML and the schema and the DTD syntax to worry about. But hopefully that's easy. Now, this is the schema, the DTD document type definition. And I hope all of you have been looking at DTD intro from last year or some other material. So have a look first and see what you think about how this, what the document should look like for this. What kind of document does it specify? Is it hard to read? I'm using the very minimal DTD vocabulary here. I could have it much more complex, but I use the minimal, or use the types of notation that you see the more often. Now, so what is the root element of this document? What's the name of the root element? Ed projects, yes. And Ed projects, how many children will it have? At least two. There's a plus there, so it says at least two, because faculty could be repeated. So okay, yeah. And there are some of these elements that also have attributes. So that's where the at least comes in. Now, before we go into detail about that one, we need to establish some vocabulary. When we talked about JSON and the PHP structure, we also talked about XML structure, we talked about the difference between simple and complex types. But we also need to talk about what's the difference between type and content. So if you have an XML element, what's the difference between the element type and the element content? You have thought about it? You remember from the lecture that you've been watching? Type is how the content is. That's kind of recurs in the definition. So if you think about type, if you compare this to a class, how do you describe the type of a class? You describe it through the member variables and the or properties and the functions it offers. Now, XML is about data, so we don't have the luxury of functions, or we don't have to mess up your functions. It's all about data. Now, what type of data do we have for an element? We have the subtree, everything under, and that is the content. But attributes may also be related to an element. Attribute is not part of the content. Attribute describes the element. But attributes and elements together define the type. You follow me? So the content would be whatever type of the tree underneath. So element has a subtree. Either it could be just a text node, it could be many other elements. And the type of elements or the type of children a node can have is the type. Or, sorry, the content. Now, the type would be the type of content plus attributes. So the difference between type and content is really the presence of attributes. You follow me? Was it hard to understand? So if you look at this one, let's say we look at the educator element. So educator, we see the element. What is the content? Element has the content is name, and optionally a position and the phone element. That is the content of educator. Three other elements. But the type is that it contains these three plus that it has the ID attribute. So in the type, it has an attribute as well as content. Do you follow me? So the type defines. So if you remember last time, I was kind of quick on this, but if you remember when we mapped an XML element into a PHP array structure or JSON structure. You remember that attributes had to be dealt with in the same way as text children. So if you had a text child, it will end up being into the list, but also attributes would be in the value list. So that's the way, so they will, both attributes and elements kind of describe the type, but only the child elements are considered to be part of the content. Confusing? It's more a question of definitions. That's how we define this. And why is this relevant? Well, because we need to talk about simple and complex type. Because when we define a schema, we need to define simple and complex types. So what is a simple type? Yeah, it's like the simple data types in programming language. Float, booleans, integers, character strings. Although character strings in some programming languages are objects. But okay. Character arrays. Well, they were arrays. Oh, okay. Single characters at least. These are just a piece of data. What is a complex type? Sorry? Children? Well, you could say the complex type is anything that you can't just make into one data element. So it may be related to children, may be related to attributes, but there's something that you can't just encode in one simple date or string or something. That's a complex type. And let's before that, let's go here. So we'll try to clarify the issues. If we look at this, what characterizes simple? So if we were to write into this one, simple type, simple content. What can we see in simple type, simple content? There are no children, it's just text content or some content. So let's say no child elements and no attributes. Because if it had attribute, we would need to represent it in a complex way. What simple type could have complex content. Is that possible? Simple type, but complex content? No. So this one we can't have. What about, let me just move this one a little bit away. Okay. What about complex type, simple content? If it's simple content, what does it mean? No child elements, because we just have content. Child elements. How can it then be complex? By having attributes. And the last combination, complex type, complex content. Since it's complex content, it has child nodes, but it's with or without attributes, because it doesn't matter. Since the content is complex, it will have to be complex even if it didn't have attributes. So in all cases, it will be complex by definition. If it has child nodes, it will have to be. If you look at this diagram, I think we talked about it in last year's video as well. If you look at this diagram, what is the type of attributes? Is attribute simple or complex type? Simple. Always? Always. Because an attribute cannot have children, an attribute is just a value, an attribute can't have an attribute. So since it can't have attribute, can't have children, it's a simple type. Yeah, so that is the kind of matrix between types and content. So this becomes important. I'm sorry to worry about this. It looks like something, just a definition thing. But it becomes important when we define the one up in the right corner. When it's complex type because it has attributes, even though the content is simple. That's kind of the extraordinary case that makes the modeling, the schema modeling a bit, verbose. Now, how can we tell this from looking at the DOM tree? So let's try to think about the tree. So we have ed projects, it has educators and one or more faculty. So if we go here, we say ed projects, what are the children? We have educators and we have one or more faculty. If you look at educators, what can educators have? Educators, what does the star mean? 0, 1, or many? Yeah. So we have educators, and it may or may not have educator element as children. So we can draw another one here. I'll put in the names after a while. And educators, they have name, optionally position, and phone. So we need to have three more. So let's start adding some text here so we see what everything is here. So here we have educators. And it's hard to... Uh, educator. And we have name. And let's just for now assume that there is a position already, or there is a position in this document. Position. And let's say, what do we say, more than name, position, and I don't remember. Yeah, phone. It was a telephone number. Phone. Now these have some that was not all I was thinking. There you go. Oops, this had to be thicker, but anyway. So what's the content of name? Just the text, wasn't it? And that was the same here. Sorry? Yeah. I'm just going to complete this and then I'll take the question. Question was, complex content. What does complex content mean? But let's draw this, because I want to discuss what it means in the tree structure, and it might be easier. So we'll see what complex content is when we get this one up and running, or I get completed on this. Didn't want this to be, this thick. So what we know is that Ed project has some of these, one educator in this case, it has name, educator has a position, educator has a phone, educator has a name has a text, position has some text, phone has some text, and there also is an ID attribute. You agree with me? So if you look here at the schema, so we have ed projects containing educators and faculty. Educators have zero more educator that have name, position, and phone, and they also have an ID, and these are all text content. PC data means parsable content, character data. So, now, what is complex content? Complex content means that it doesn't contain just text. So if you see here on the on name, position, and phone, these are the only ones with simple content because they just contain text. Just some text content, nothing else. Now, educator is complex because educator contains a name element, position element, a phone element, and an ID attribute. That makes it complex. The educators is complex because it contains not just text, it doesn't contain the text at all, it just contains an educator. And ed projects is also complex because it either contains the educators element, it contains the educators element followed by the faculty element. Did that answer the question? So simple content means that it's just some text. The text may be a date, the text may be a number, or in this case it may be a name, position may be, some text. Phone is a phone number, so these are the simple types. Question? No, that was, sorry, that's make it complex type. Yeah, that's nothing to do with content. No, content is, you're absolutely right. Content is just the children. Sorry. Yeah, you are right. So we can see from this structure, we can see whether the type is complex or simple by looking at, does it have anything other than just text? Here, it has both attributes and child elements. This one has just child element. So they aren't complex. These ones are simple. A question? So we remember from the DOM that an element doesn't have a node value, but it may have children. And if the child is a text node, then that's the text content of a node. So simple content means that it either contains a text in the node value, or the child node is a text node. That makes it simple. Question? If it has attributes at all, it's complex, yes. If it's empty without anything, we can say it's a simple type because it's an empty type. Empty is a type in its own right. It's just empty. So the type doesn't have a type. It's empty. But if it has attributes, it's by definition complex, which means that this is not the case here. But let me just for convenience, I don't have to write up the other part of the tree. So let's say that we had we have a name attribute. We have a name attribute. If you look at the abbreviation, if you look at the DTD, I put under here that name may have the attribute abbreviation. It's supposed to be used for faculty names. But I can't distinguish, since they are all called names, I can't distinguish it. So that's why it says implied, meaning that's optional attribute. But that means that I could have an abbreviation attribute here. Let's see if you can make this a bit larger. So now, the question now is, this name, what is the content of this name element? What is the content? Simple or complex? Simple, because it just has text. What is the type of the name element? This time it's complex, because it has an attribute. Now all of a sudden we got an attribute, so now that makes it complex. So, now we've explored a little bit what is the simple, what is the complex type here. So let's go through which are the simple types now here. First of all, just for remembering it, all attributes by definition are simple types. So the value of ID is a simple type, just a character data. The value of name or abbreviation is a simple type. And the led by attribute, they by definition have simple types. Attributes have to have simple types. But among the elements, which elements have simple types? Yep. Here, code, start date, and budget. Yeah? Anyone else? Name? No, because it's defined that it has attributes down here. Position? Yes. Phone? Yes. These are the simple types. And the complex types, all elements with children and all elements with attributes have complex type. A question? Yeah? Yeah. The thing here is, the thing is, one of the weaknesses we're going to talk about, and in the video from last year, we also talked about the limitations and weaknesses of DTD. And the problem with DTD is that you can only define an element once. So you can't say that name element in faculty has a different type than name element in the educator. That's a limitation. Which means that in this case, that's, as I said, that's why I have implied here. Because not all names will have an abbreviation attribute. I would like to say required. I would like to say that all faculty names should have an abbreviation, but I can't in the DTD. That's why a schema is richer. So when you look at schema, we can do this in the schema. But in the DTD, we can't. We can just say that, okay, it is possible for name to have an attribute abbreviation, but we can't say that it should always have in faculty names, but it should never have in educator names. I can't specify that. The schema is, the DTD is too limited in its functionality. So, now, what then could an ed project document look like? And you have to bear with me, we have to do it here. I thought it was a good idea. Maybe we find it's boring, but I thought it was a good idea so that we have a document that we can use when we create a schema later on. So let's fill it in. So we have educators. So let's just make the And then we had at least one faculty. Now, educators, let's see. So, educators contain educator, one or more. Let's just make one for now. And here we have an ID. So let's say the ID is it's me. And educators had names. To keep an eye to see that I don't type in anything that makes this break. And then we say position, and it's professor. And then we said we had a phone. Let's go with the 8, 6, 0, 9, 4. Oops, phone, that's right. Thanks. Okay. Faculty, and the faculty, it had name, and here we could say that the abbreviation equals, let's say it's the faculty, the IE faculty, and then what's the name? It's faculty of IT, AMP, what is AMP? You remember what AMP is? Sorry? No? Dipti talked about it in the first lecture, talked about some character entities. You remember character entity? There are certain characters we can't use in XML, and for them we have a character entity. What is the most important character we can't use in XML text, XML content, text content? Sorry? Type? No, type can be used. The less than sign. Why can't we use the less than sign? Because the less than sign means no start of an element. Because in XML we don't know what's behind, so if you find a less than sign, we have to assume it's the start of an element. Because of that, we can't use less than sign. So, okay, so how do we get away with it? Well, we use the amp sign, the and or the at sign, and then we give the name of the character entity, LT, which is less than, semicolon, and that is the encoding of less than sign. But that means that the amp means that this is the start of a character entity, so I can't use amp the and sign either. So that's why it has a character entity called amp. So if I want to use the and sign, I just say I have to use amp. Because if I just use add, and it would assume that what comes after would be the name of a character entity or some entity. So that I can do. Sorry, that was a digression, but at the same time it was relevant it was relevant for XML, so I included it anyway. Name, and then we had the projects. Projects, and then projects. Projects end. And what does projects contain? It contains projects. Project. One or more project, and project has an attribute led by, which is now the let's just copy this one. There should be a reference to this. This is what we're going to talk about on Thursday, how to do referential integrity. Project is led by. Now, if you look at the project, project has code, name, start date, budget. So we have something like code. And the code, let's just call it reflective diary, something like that. Name is reflective diary. We had start date. And the start date should be 2018 01 01, for instance, and budget. Let's say it's 750. Let's assume that we have thousands there, budget in thousands. If I did everything correctly, then I can go here. I've created this very small PHP program that loads the document, the edprojects XML document, and it's trying to validate it. And if I look at the project XML document here, you can see that I defined a doc type. A doc type which is system, which means it's a local file. And this is the name of the file, which we had here. So, it is should be possible to validate. Opening and ending tag missing. Okay, so I have some error in my XML document. Educators. Do we see something that is missing here? Name, projects, project, code name, target, budget. I need to look at head projects and faculty. What? Yeah, head projects. But it says faculty, so this faculty is faculty, projects, and projects. Then we have to do see what it complains about if we. It's something in the faculty because it's okay up to that point, but it didn't. So you see the error message now is that okay, educators are okay, faculty didn't find faculty. So it expected faculty. So there's something in my faculty. Name, projects. Oh, sorry. That one I shouldn't have there. Okay, there we go. So this one is valid. Just before we make the break, it's also possible to, so this, let me just see if it was in the next slide. Yeah, we skip this one. I just want to show the use of how we can validate. We can use a validation service in addition to, or what we just did. But let's look at the validation service. So the XML validation or .com provides a validation service. It's not the best in the world, but I mean, if you have nothing else, if you don't want to program, you can do it. So what do? We choose the file. Which file do we choose? We choose the XML file, and we want to validate. Now it finds that we need DTD. So then we choose the DTD, and DTD was here. Continue validation, and this one is also happy. It found that the current document is in line with what I expected. So if I go here, just for fun of it, and say I add an educator, one more educator, sorry. Let's see. And we can use this one, doesn't matter. Oops. I did something more wrong. Let's see what we did. Still here? Yeah, it's still here. Shouldn't be. That's just the next path. Relation failed. It didn't fail. Why didn't it fail? Sorry? No, it didn't. It should have. But I have another educator here. One there and one here. Yeah, sorry. I should have... you're right. I should have more. I was thinking of educators. So I was just thinking... to replicate the whole thing here. Because I can't have multiple educators. Of course, I can have more educators. That's the purpose. But this one, element ed project, does not follow DTD. It was expecting educators and then faculty, and it got educators, faculty. So that's why it failed. OK, so let's take a break, and then we'll look into the creating the schema after the break.